All right, so starting off, my name is Sarah Lee. I don't know if I introduced myself before, but yeah, my name is Sarah Lee, and I'm 20 years old, and today is April 13th, and I'm speaking with Dr. Trisha Harrison, who is the principal of Paint Branch Elementary School, and we are recording this interview in College Park, Maryland. So, so I guess to start off with my first question, tell me about yourself and how you identify your role at the school.
Okay, well, first of all, I am a citizen of Prince George's County. I've lived in Prince George's County my entire life. I've graduated from Prince George's County Public Schools. I went to Montpelier Elementary, Martin Luther King Middle, and High Point High School. And I got my bachelor's from the University of Maryland in College Park. I received my master's from Bowie State University and my doctorate from Nova Southeastern University. I define my role here as the principal, as an instructional leader, as a support to my children and to my families. Our goal here is to, of course, increase academic excellence for all students and also to connect with the community and our business partners as well, because it really takes a whole village to raise a child, and the school as a one unit can't do it by ourselves. So we have to reach out and, you know, engage in the resources that our community has to offer to really just change mindsets and to change lives of our students and to give them the direction and resources they need to be a 21st century learner.
That's amazing. Yeah. Okay, so I guess building onto that with your field of work, so how would you, because I guess what we're most curious about is the Chinese STEM immersion programs. So how would you describe that program to someone who isn't familiar with it?
So this is a Chinese immersion program. It's not a lottery school, so that means we are a neighborhood school. And this program began here about 5 years ago from a cohort of students who were kindergarten then. So now those students are fourth graders. Next year, Chinese immersion will go to the fifth grade and to the sixth grade because they're following that particular cohort. Children receive Chinese instruction in mathematics and in science. So we're really trying to enhance the STEM program here. Students who enter into our program, they're just not left by themselves because they haven't received the Chinese language since kindergarten. We also have a Chinese critical language aspect of the day that we do for the students as well, which is a 30-minute intense instruction for our students, is to bring them up from the beginning to where they need to go. Our test scores from our Maryland report card that we just received shows that in mathematics that the students have met their targets from the state of Maryland. So the program is very rigorous, but it's very rewarding. Our students love their Chinese. They love to receive Chinese because not only are we teaching them the Chinese language, but we're also creating awareness with the Chinese culture as well. So students are also learning how to write in Chinese. They're learning about China and everything that beautiful culture has to offer. And then we're infusing that or emerging that into our American lifestyle. So it's really helping the kids to strike a balance and let them know that, hey, you know, English is great, but we also have another critical language that we can learn that will help really propel our academics.
Okay, so is it open to anyone that wants to learn Chinese?
Absolutely, any student here who's receiving the critical language in mathematics and science are part of the Chinese immersion program.
Okay, I see.
So any student who, you know, enrolls at Paint Branch, those students will receive some aspect of the Chinese immersion program.
That's amazing. What inspired you, like, in this field of work, I guess, like, to have this Chinese STEM immersion program?
Well, I can take that back to my childhood. Since I was 5 years old, I remember one Christmas I received a chalkboard with a stand.
And, you know? Yes. Yeah.
And often, you know, my mom would just allow me just to, I had older siblings, so I was by myself a lot because of such an age gap. And during that time, you know, I just played my chalkboard. I was a teacher. And then at some point in time, I became the principal. And my dolls, you know, they were my students. So that helped to really cultivate me as an educator.
Yeah.
And I've always had the love for learning. I just love school. I love learning. I love going through the doctoral program because it was a lot of reading and writing, and that's what I like to do. Mm-hmm. So with that, it really inspired me to take what has been placed in me and to share with others, but also getting the training through my academics to learn how to do that the correct way to make sure that I'm cultivating the right child, the right teacher, and just the right, you know, teacher leaders. So that really inspired me. I love education. I do. I love teaching and learning. Yeah. I love education. I just love everything that it brings with the, you know, the social economic status of families, being able to offer resources and able to really go out and to engage with community and bring those resources and partnerships into a school system, and particularly, you know, our school Pink Branch, and just really helping develop our children, not just the children, but sometimes it extends out to the families as well, because you have to help families to help children in order to help the cause and to bring our vision to fruition. So that's what we're really trying to do, just making sure that we're aligning all hearts, you know, just make sure we're aligning the resources and the expertise that we have to really help children. Children and families come to us from all walks of life. So it's really differentiated. It's a mixing bowl of children and the resources, and then how you just help and support each one. But just making sure that everyone is being, something is good is being poured into each child, into each family.
That's good. I guess switching directions, I should have switched the orders, but what are some difficulties that you have faced, like, with this program?
With the Chinese Immersion Program, it's a very difficult, critical language. We sometimes have students who would just take more time to learn the critical language, but that is okay too, because teachers do some backwards mapping in class.
Right.
They pull the students in small groups, and they really focus on those critical languages. Just making sure that we have the right resources and providing parents with the resources that they need, and also educating the parents on some basic skills with the critical language of Chinese, so they're able to at least, you know, recognize maybe some symbols, some numbers, that's very important, and just some ways how parents can really help students. So that's a focus that we're going to really hone in on the upcoming school year, is how can we engage parents in the critical language, so when they're sitting down with their child, although we send the homework home in Chinese and in English, it's the same assignment. But just making sure that, you know, parents can really engage and perhaps maybe say some of the numbers in Chinese as well. So the child will not only hear it in school, but they also will hear it at home. So you always, again, it's helping the parent, helping the children to help the cause. So reaching out to the parent to try to better engage them into the critical language component that we have here. So they can help students.
I feel like it also, like with this program, it also builds like a better relationship between like a student and a parent too, especially if, like for me, like I'm Korean, but my parents, like they immigrated from Korea, and I was born here, and I've never been to Korea at all. But my mom, like she, like when I was younger, she put me into like Korean like language school just to like have me learn like their native like language and like the background like they came from, and so for me like that really educated me on like my parents' like background and like what they like gave up for me. So like I think this is like amazing, like what you guys offer too, because I think in a personal aspect, like it also like builds a relationship between like families like in their own lives. So
it does, but the bigger part of that, I think it creates an awareness of our students who normally would not be exposed to and maybe a critical language. Critical language is very vital. I went to a STAR Talk conference. It's a critical language conference. It was for leaders. So I was able to really see and engage and learn and understand that those critical languages such as Russian and Chinese and Portuguese, those are critical languages that really help move a resume, you know, and it also helps children to, again, that create that awareness and have a more open mind to the world and what it has to offer. So I think that is very important, because again, we're not just focusing on the language, we're also focusing on the culture, because you have to understand where their language is coming from, and that's through the culture. So how does all of that fit in? Recently we had a puppeteer or puppet artist. His name was Mr. Chen. He's famous in China. He came and did a puppet show with us, and he also provided some professional development for our teachers on how to integrate the arts of the critical language into mm-hmm. academics. It was amazing. Mm-hmm. They did a newspaper article on that as well, and I'll share that.
Oh, wow.
But they did a newspaper article on that as well. But what mm-hmm. we learned through that experience, our immersion teachers, was we can take puppeting. You know, we can take that art and integrate it, because when the puppets are speaking, they're speaking the critical language, but it's also, they were doing a dramatization of their history.
Oh.
Yeah, that's what it was, a dramatization of their history with the government and the people. So it was just an amazing experience. Mm-hmm. But taking all of that, and how do we thread that through our arts integration program, because we're also an arts integration school.
Mm-hmm.
And just making all of those channels, all of those moving parts connect.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. And can I, if I can just mind me jumping in. So I know you talked a lot about just like different components and like it taking a village to raise a child, which I think is very true. So can you just kind of talk about like the different, like, I guess, factors or things that are, you feel like are necessary for success in terms of like, whether personally, educationally, academically, like whatever you want to, wherever you want to take it, but like, because you were talking about like arts integration, critical languages, you know, parental engagement, you know, pouring into children while they're at school, but just wherever you want to take it. So
I think it's a well-balanced system, but I think it always starts with a vision.
Mm-hmm.
Where do you want to see the future? Where do I want to see Paint Branch Elementary School? Where mm-hmm. do I want to see the students? Where do I want to see each component that makes up a well-balanced academic system? So it's the vision. As far as the parent component, I want to see our parents very engaged in the school and offering the resources and just the knowledge and the skills that our parents have. They have a wealth of knowledge. You cannot do this work without parent support. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, how do we connect with the parents and provide them with the professional with the learning that we need and just the support that we need to help bring that into the school system? Mm-hmm. So how do we do that? We have a parent engagement assistant who does an amazing job with our community, but just helping to really build that program for next year is on top of my list,
mm-hmm.
because I want to see that program just flourish. I want to see more parents and more volunteers in the building, you know, helping supporting our students. Again, our business partners, like the University of Maryland, is one of our hugest business partners, but how do we really reach out and connect with all the agencies and all the resources that the University of Maryland has to offer? So I've already started that conversation with Ms. Blackwell
mm-hmm.
of how we can bring those resources in, but not only when we bring the resources in, how will that help build community here, but help the vision? So every time we do something, and I was just sharing with the teachers, every time we do something, let's think about the benefit to children. Will this engagement, will this partnership bring benefit to children? If so, how?
Mm-hmm.
If it doesn't bring engagement or benefit to children, let's rethink what we're doing and let's try to you know, either revise it, reshape it, so it can happen mm-hmm. for students. As far as the teachers, you know, providing the teachers with professional learning, making sure that we're providing support to our new teachers,
mm-hmm.
even providing support to our veteran teachers.
Mm-hmm.
Veteran teachers need professional learning as well, because education doesn't stop growing.
Mm.
You are a lifelong learner. I have a doctorate. I'm at the end of the highest degree that I can receive, but I still have more to learn. I'm a lifelong learner. You always have things to learn. So making sure that the teachers are engaged and they have that professional learning, because I don't know if you know, research says that teachers are the number one impact on student learning. It's the teacher.
Mm.
The principal is number two.
Mm.
So just making sure that we have what the teachers need, and then helping the teachers have that pedagogy to make sure that they're delivering that rigorous, consistent instruction to students. And then we have like our support staff.
Mm-hmm.
So we have paraeducators here, a position called itinerant special education assistants, and just others who are in the classroom, making sure that they have the professional learning that they need. And that's something I focused on this year with our support staff, not just what's in the classroom, also out of the classroom with the secretarial staff.
Mm-hmm.
They have a lot to offer. There's a wealth of knowledge in the main office. That's the heartbeat, because as soon as you enter, That is the picture that you get at the schools mm-hmm. when you enter into the main office. So just making sure, again, that they are aware of our school goals, our school system goals, and then how do we make all of that work in tandem. Mm-hmm. So it's just a multi-tier approach, but I believe everything begins with a vision. Mm-hmm. Where do you want to see the future? But then you have to have a timeline, and you have to chunk that. So where do I want to see the school at the end of the 2020 school year? Mm-hmm. Where do I want to see the school in the 2021 school year?
Yeah.
So you have to have those benchmarks. But again, it starts with the vision, not with a principal vision. It starts with a collaborative vision mm-hmm. from all parts that are involved. So what do the parents think? I just sent the parents a survey this budget time. I sent the parents a survey to ascertain their thoughts of what they believe needs to happen for next year. Mm-hmm. And they gave me some great feedback.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the highest feedback they used, you know, was highly considered when we did the budget. So parents have a voice in all of this.
Right.
SGA, we want to start again this year. So just gauging what the students want. Students let you know what they want.
Mm-hmm.
Tell you
what
they need. Mm-hmm. You have to talk to students. So part of my goal coming for next year with SGA, I need to meet at least on a monthly basis with the SGA leaders and provide them with an opportunity in class time to share information with each individual class.
Mm.
And I'm talking about from my pre-K all the way up to sixth grade. Pre-K students are very smart. They know. They know what they want and need in pre-kindergarten, and they're four.
Oh, wow.
Yes. So again, you know, just collaboratively being a visionary
mm-hmm.
and just really trying to figure out where do you want the school, what resources do you have, and then how do you make that happen. The how do you make that happen, that's our work.
Mm.
Yeah.
That's the work of the human. That's human resources.
Mm-hmm.
The how. And then you have your check-ins, you know, your benchmarks, to seeing if it's working, because if something's not working, why do it?
Yeah.
We have extended learning opportunities here for the students, and it began in mid-September, and we're going to conclude it in mid-May. And I asked the teachers, I said, okay, so when we conclude it in mid-May, the work is not over at that point. I said, what we need to do is take at least another week, which is two sessions, and really have teacher reflection on what data did you collect? What was your outcome? Do you believe that the students really benefited from your program? If so, how? What did you use mm-hmm. to assess that? And then what do we need to do better next year? Because if something is not working or we need to tweak it, we don't need to fund something that's not working. I need to fund something that's making an impact on children.
Mm-hmm.
That is the point of extended learning opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
So we're having that conversation now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm having a conversation now with the instructional leadership team, and we're going to develop a data capture tool that will help organize that information so we can make sense of it as a team and then use it to inform our next steps for next year.
That's great. Yeah. I think you already touched upon like what your ideal school and community look like, but I guess another question I had when I was like hearing your story and experience was, you said that a principal has the second impact, like the second most impact.
That's research,
on a student.
Yes.
Yeah.
Because we have the first impact on teachers.
Right.
So yes.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously like you have such a high like authority status like at the school. So you don't get to engage with students as much as teachers, right?
No. I engage with students every day.
Oh, you do?
Oh, absolutely. I greet my students when they come off the bus in the morning.
Oh.
I go in the cafeteria. I greet my students there.
Mm-hmm.
My students know me. They know me well.
That's good.
It's
mm-hmm.
the best thing that can happen is in the morning is a pre-K say, good morning, Dr.
Yeah.
Halliston.
It's your day.
I'm in the classrooms because the work is in the classroom. The work is not in this office. The work is in the classroom. You have to gauge instruction and find out what's going on in your building.
Yeah.
You know how you need to help teachers.
Mm-hmm.
You need to conduct your informal observations and your formal observations. That's how we know what's going
right.
on in the classroom, what supports teachers may need, what our students are actually learning, how students are engaging with the resources that they have.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just taking a picture of what's going on in the classroom. It's the classroom. The
mm-hmm.
work is in the classroom, not in the hallway, not in this office. It's in the classroom, and that's where I am the majority
mm-hmm.
of the time. Rarely will you see me in my office. You may call me, and they say, Dr. Harrison will call you back. I will call you back, but a lot of time, I'm in the classrooms a lot. That's
mm-hmm.
what work is, in the cafeteria. That's how you know your students. That's how you know what's going on in your building.
Yeah.
The kids will tell you.
Yeah.
Sit down with them and sit down and eat with their children. Just ask, how was your day? Are you learned? I always ask my kids, are you learning great things today? They think I'm just trying to get conversation. I'm really trying to get some information.
Right.
Are you learn? Did you learn anything great today? Well, what did you learn? Mm-hmm. Did you learn any math? Well, tell me what you learned in math today. And they will tell you. Mm-hmm. You know, even in the afternoon when the students are dismissing, they go to the cafeteria. I go to the cafeteria, it was their late bus. It's me who do late bus duty. It's not the teachers. Mm-hmm. I let the teachers go at 3:45 when they're supposed to. Mm-hmm. I sit, last night the last bus came late because it was an accident in the community on a highway. So the bus, you know, picked up the students late. We talked. Mm-hmm. You know, I go around from table to table. I find out what's going on.
Yeah.
How was your day? What did you do? So, you know, did you have a great time on your field trip? What did you learn in your field trip? Did you learn that in class? Because field trips are culminating activities.
Yeah.
They're fun, but we don't do field trips for fun. Field trips should be culminating activities or hands-on experience, but beyond the classroom, the students can still engage in learning. Mm-hmm. They should still be learning experiences. So when they go on field trips, HB Science says, what you learn? Did you learn that in class? You did what? Oh, you play with Legos?
Yeah.
Well, did you learn that in robotics today? Mm-hmm. That's how you find out information and know what's really going on. So that's that informal information or that qualitative data that I collect.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess, I mean, you know, it's clear that you're very talented because you're dealing with a lot of moving parts. And you're like, I just hearing you, it's just so like, I just feel like I feel inspired.
I'm so happy. Are you not teaching? Are you? Are you
teaching? But I just wanted to ask, like, what do you feel like are the most, like, important skills or quality to have in your position? Because you are dealing with so many moving parts. And I feel like as a principal, you're not, I mean, it is what you said. Like, you are a visionary. You are creating that vision for other people to be inspired by. And that's definitely not a job that everyone can do. So what do you feel like, you know, that the most important skill set or quality is to have?
Well, I'm a 28-year veteran. So I've had a lot of experiences. I've been in Prince George's County my whole entire career. So I've just had a lot of experiences, and just being able to take those experiences and applying them, because every experience is different. So you take a little piece here, a little piece there, a little piece here. But I think what's most important, you have to have the love of education and children. It has to be innate. It's nothing can be taught to you. That's number one. Number two, just knowing the classroom and instruction and just coming up as a teacher, I think is very important. Being very clear on the needs of a school and then knowing how to manage a school and then how to engage a school community. Right there is a great skill.
Mm-hmm.
Because you build on that. Mm-hmm. Again, what's going on in Paint Branch, the skill set I have here and the things that we're doing here may look different in another building or in another community. But it's really about just having the foundation and the strong leadership skills. But it all really begins in the classroom. For me as a teacher, knowing instruction, it's all about instruction. Mm-hmm. Everything ties around instruction. You have to know the classroom, you have to know instruction, you have to be data driven.
Mm-hmm.
A visionary, like I already shared with that, a collaborative spirit, being collaborative. You can't do the work by yourself. You have to bring in your whole entire team, you know, just being collaborative, and just really knowing how to leverage resources and just, you know, just create a balance of things. And I guess that's pretty hard to describe, but again, it just goes back for me to the classroom and just becoming well-defined in classroom instruction, because that is the seed of everything that we do.
Mm-hmm.
It's about teaching and learning.
Mm.
It's right there.
Yeah. Yep. Did you have any more questions?
I think that was it. That's the one question that was running through my mind as you were speaking, because I was like, you clearly have built a great skill set over time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
So for me, like, I want to be a future pediatric nurse because I really like interacting with kids. So I just wanted to ask you, what was the most memorable or rewarding, like, experience you had with a kid, or like encounter that you had with a student?
Here or just in 28 years? Just here?
Here.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. I have some students in the primary,
mm-hmm.
and they were struggling. In September, they couldn't write their names. could not write their names. By Christmas, when I went in the classroom, because I go into the classroom a lot, this one particular student, he showed me his work. And he showed me how he wrote his name. It was on a project that the kids were engaging. It was actually science, a science project that they were doing, because they were planting seeds and they were measuring how it would grow. And talked about soil. We don't talk about dirt. We talk about soil because we use academic language with our students beginning in pre-K.
Yeah.
They have to understand how life works. And he showed me his name, and each one of his letters were legible. You could recognize his handwriting, and that just made my whole day. Yeah. Because I saw, and this was a struggling student, I saw the progression of this particular child. And today, matter of fact, I just asked on Friday, hi, what did you learn? And so he was talking about how he can count from 1 to 10. He actually counted for me. His teacher was standing there, but those small steps shows growth in students.
Yeah.
Every child is different. Not every child comes even to pre-K the same. They don't come to us in third grade the same. But as long as kids are making progress, that is the biggest gratitude or the biggest appreciation that I can receive as an educator.
Yeah.
Is to see how children bloom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's why you do what you do.
That's
right?
Why I do what
yeah.
I do.
I guess, like, to end it off on a good note, what are you most proud of?
Wow. I am most proud of one, when we came together as a school, as teachers and principals, our leadership team in September. We have quite a few new teachers, I had 22 new staff members to the building. Quite a few of those staff members were brand new teachers out of college. Just seeing how we came together and provided the professional learning and the support to our teachers, and how our teachers have grown. It's just amazing. And then how teachers eventually, like in November, December, I started seeing the teacher leadership and providing them with opportunities and let them know, you know, I extended my hand and said, don't be afraid. So I have teachers who normally would not have been teacher leaders, even the veteran teachers who transferred in, or teachers who's already been here, are now some of our teacher leaders in the building. They're on my instructional leadership team. Mr. Amin is on he's the leader of our green team, which is the work of our community day that we're having. He does all of our work, but he's a teacher leader that we saw, and that he saw in himself, you know, what I can do this. Yes, you can do this. Come on. So now, you know, he's leading some great work in the building along with some other teachers. But just seeing how the teachers are growing and becoming teacher leaders, that's my goal, is to grow and have you to go up and be your teacher leader and just open up your opportunities. But even with that, how that has permeated to our students and just watching our students grow, which is indicated in our data. Our benchmark data, you know, that's increasing. So watching our parents, you know, becoming more engaged, and how we can just really become a community of learners. I think that's what it's all about. So that's what I'm most proud of, seeing pockets of the most important stakeholders just grow here at Payne Branch and grow in what they're doing.
It's great that you're bringing, like, the potential out in people and, like, having people realize that themselves.
Because someone saw something in me years ago, and they just helped me grow. Yeah. It wasn't one particular person. It was people over time.
Right.
Did you, like, have a teacher or someone that was, like, a really big
mentor.
Influence? Or
Yes, my third grade teacher, Montpelier Elementary School.
Oh,
Yes. I sure do. She was just amazing. Like, you know, she took us really under her wing. She loved all her students. But for some reason, you know, it was just a group of us that she just really, really helped us to flourish, you know, helped us after school with our academics. Because, again, students come from all walks of life and with different skill sets. But it was really with her, I believe, that I just started to bloom, really, and honestly. It was in my third grade year.
Wow. It's like teachers have such a great impact. Like, I feel like, you know, you don't necessarily remember the name of your first doctor or your first whoever, but you always remember your teachers, no matter what. Yeah. And whether they're good or they're bad, you remember them.
Yeah.
You do. And, and again, you know, she told all her students, you know, you guys can be anything you want. You can do it. And when you were in third grade, you don't really believe that. But when somebody show you the way and help you go the way, that's when you start becoming a believer. So I think it was a turning point for me there. Yeah. And that was a young seed. I was a seedling.
Mm-hmm. It's amazing. Yeah. It's amazing that I was so young, and then it just, like, it's had, you know, you've just done so much with that. And, I mean, the fact that she saw potential in you, and now you're a principal, and you have your doctorate, and, you know, and now you're doing that for other people. So
and I always tell my staff, we have to speak positivity over every student that walks through these doors. It's about being and speaking positive to your children. Greet them. Mm-hmm. You know, let them know, I got you. What do you need? Okay. And you help your children.
Yeah.
But just speaking positivity over the work that we do is very, very important. Mm-hmm.
So did you know you wanted to be a principal? Like, since you were, I guess, like, when you're in college, too, like, were you working for the degree of a
principal? Yes, I graduated from University of Maryland College of Education. So I knew I was taking that college track. I mean, the education track.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And that was the best experience ever.
What was your favorite part about being at UMD?
Yeah.
Learning my pedagogy, my teacher training, real specific, learning how to be a teacher.
Yeah.
Learning the ins and out of, like, how to create a lesson plan. And then I did a student teaching experience. I think that was my favorite, because at that time I was able to show what I know and what I didn't know, and how I can get help around that.
Yeah.
And I did my student teaching at Northwestern High School.
So you've been, then it's like you've been just, I did this all three levels.
Yes. I spent almost 15 years in elementary, middle, and high. I was an assistant principal at a high school.
Okay.
Yeah, so I've been on all three levels, yes.
How do you feel like it's different being in a high school versus an elementary school?
It's the same. It's just your children different ages. It really is the same. The work is the same.
I guess, yeah, sorry we, like, bombarded you with a bunch of questions. I guess a fun question I have is, like, is there any language you would like to, like, learn in the future?
Chinese.
Oh.
Chinese.
Mm-hmm.
That's a goal of mine this year coming in. I want to learn Chinese, because if I'm going to be a principal here in a Chinese immersion program, I need to really immerse myself in the language. The support and help is here. I can't get any better than my teachers who are here. But learning a critical language of Chinese, that is where I would like to go.
That's awesome. That's great.
So I could be a part of the conversation and not have an interpreter with me, you know, all the time, and just so I can engage in the culture and speak to my children. You know, they see a different face, and I can speak Chinese. I think that speaks volumes of who we are as a school, and then who I am as a leader, because you know, if I'm supporting and promoting, I should be able to do it.
Yeah.
So it's Chinese. So stay tuned.
Definitely
stay tuned with that. Yes.
Well, good luck to you.
Thank you.
It was so wonderful interviewing with you today, and we really appreciate your
time.
And thank you for taking your time.
Thank you so very
We gained
much.
A lot from this.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry we took a while.
It's okay.